You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel. And it is a pleasure to welcome you to Final 4 Weeks Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on hoopfeed.com. And we're going to get right into discussion of the Final Four. And I've got with us three of the most successful coaches in women's college basketball today. Each has a success story in their own right, and I am truly honored to have them to discuss the Final Four with us. First from Cal, last year Final Four participant, Lindsay Gottlieb. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And from Penn State University, Coach Coquise Washington. Hi, Coach.
Hello. Hey.
And finally, it's always a pleasure to welcome back to Dishin' and Swishin' the head coach of DePaul University, Doug Bruno. Hi, Coach.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. All right, guys. So first question, obviously, I have to address is Maryland and the fact that with the home court advantage for Louisville and all, they managed to still get through and make it this far. You know, this is a team that I don't think I've seen one close to this with the one player and everybody else helping them since Taurasi in 2004, perhaps for UConn. You know, Coquise, let's start with you. I mean, what are we to make of Alyssa Thomas and this incredible run of Maryland to the Final Four?
So I think the thing is, you know, what you see is when you've got a superstar talent and they raise their level of production in the postseason, it raises the confidence of everybody else. And one of the things, you know, you saw in the games, the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight game, is the confidence that her supporting cast played with, and that starts with Alyssa Thomas.
Now, she has an ability to handle pressure and take the ball and force the break herself and go, you know, they were referring to her as like LeBron James. Lindsay, is there anybody else in the women's game, short of like a Tamika Catchings, that plays with that kind of controlled aggression as Thomas does, and she's only a senior?
I think there's no one like her in college basketball right now. I mean, she's a matchup nightmare. I think their success speaks to that there's sort of UConn and Notre Dame a little bit above everyone else, and then there's a lot of parity, like 3-20. And when you have one superstar, that can be the edge for you. And I think Alyssa Thomas, her ability to rebound, push the ball, get to the rim, get to the free throw line, has been the difference in this tournament. And I don't think there's a player in college basketball like her, to be honest. I think, you have to look to the pros to try and find somebody that fits her mold.
You know, Doug, you've become an expert over the years of finding those people that create a team that's the sum greater than the individuals, the sum of its parts. That's what I saw last night on the court. When you get players like Lexi Brown and Devon all contributing, you know, they really are a team that has grown over the years and over the season, and Coach Freeze has done a great job getting them ready for this.
Yeah, back to Thomas. She's also one of the most fierce competitors I've ever been around. I was lucky enough to be with her at the national trials in October, and her ferocity of competitiveness is unbelievable. And you also have Mincy coming back from that injury right now, and you mentioned Lexi Brown as a freshman, and you know I can't even think of the other kid's name that does just a great job. The long kid that. I mean, it's just a really good team, and Brenda's been here before. I think they also benefit from having played in a really strong Atlantic Coast Conference this season and having played against, you know, there's two juggernauts in the country, and you've got a Notre Dame, and Maryland has had to face Notre Dame this year along with a ton of other great talent in the ACC. So I think they're really, really ready to go here.
You know, you mentioned Notre Dame, of course, who was, you know, let's talk about the second ACC team now and bring Notre Dame into the conversation. And, of course, you have to start with the injury.
Hey, Dave, is Maryland in the Big Ten or the ACC?
We're claiming Maryland in the Big Ten right now.
You're hitting on a sore spot here, Doug, considering I'm looking at the American Athletic Conference next year. Yes, we'll give the ACC this one for now, and Coquise can lay claim for a portion of it. How's that? So let's talk Notre Dame now. And, of course, you know, Natalie Achonwa goes down. And it's obviously a major blow to the team and the fact that they're losing one of their leaders and one of the star players. You know, Coach Lindsay, let's talk for a second about it. Now, you dealt with this year alone, you know, Jennifer Brandon, you know, was a heavily featured post player that you were counting on during the season. And she was in and out of the lineup. You look at how do you prepare for the next game when you know when the players are first going to have to adjust to not having that type of talent on the court?
Well, I will say this. I mean, it's a devastating injury, but if there is a program and a staff and players that have the foundation and the infrastructure to handle it, it's Notre Dame. And that's a credit to Muffet and a credit to their staff. The way that they play, you know, that the whole is better than the sum of their parts, no matter how good those parts are. So, you know, it's hard as a coach to not exactly know who's going to be available, and you rely on certain kids. I think from a mental standpoint, you know, you have to keep everybody believing. You have to keep the mental spirit of the team up. I think Notre Dame will do that. And I also think their equal opportunity offense and how well they share the ball and how well the ball moves makes it slightly less devastating than if it was another program. You know, for us, obviously, you know, Jen Brandon was an All-American and missed some time, and you ask other people to step up, and you know that's what Notre Dame will do in these next couple of days. They just don't have a long time to figure it out, but I think if anyone can do it, they can.
Now, Cookies, you gave Notre Dame a really tough game in December, and if anybody knows, you know, Coach Muffet McGraw, it's you. That's for sure. What is going through her mind right now about getting everybody ready for the rest of the tournament without Achonwa?
Well, you know, one of the things that Muff does well is she doesn't dwell on the past or what she doesn't have. So, you know, she's I think she's probably really focused on what adjustments they need to make in terms of personnel, what tweaks they may need to make offensively. If any, you know, what tweaks they need to make defensively. So, you know, she's, you know, as Lindsay said, you know, their staff is really going to, you know, bunker down and figure out what tweaks they need to make. But because what they do is not predicated on Natalie, you know, posting up and scoring with her back to the basket or things like that, you know, that's where they're going with it. I think the thing they'll miss with Achonwa is, you know, is her stability, you know, just being in the right spot at the right time. You know, she made a lot of plays, especially on the defensive end, rotating and getting blocks and things like that. And it's, I think those intangibles that are tougher to replace.
You know, Doug, before we talk about the stars with these guys, now, when you played Notre Dame in November, you sort of had the coming out party, unfortunately, for Taya Raymer, who actually put up 15 points and 14 rebounds against you guys in her first significant minutes. You know, is this something that they can expect to get a good contribution, do you think, out of a freshman that has been coming off the bench?
Actually, when we played them, Reimer had been starting because Achonwa played her for our game was her first game back. She started the season injured. So Achonwa did not start the season, and Reimer did. And then, you know, in our game, Achonwa came back, and Reimer was kind of hitting a stride of having played. You know, it was early, so they might have only played two or three games, maybe four or five. But, you know, she had already played some. And I think Reimer will really give them solid minutes, and couldn't have said it better than Lindsay and Coquise just did about the staff and Muffet and how she is just a great coach with her team and is going to have them ready to go. And excuse me, but at the same time, you know, Achonwa, you know, and Lindsay said it that the whole is bigger than the parts, and that's very true. And then Coquise said it. Also, that Achonwa really knows how to be in the right place at the right time. And the other thing about Achonwa that the Irish are going to miss is, and as a fan, I think we're all going to miss, is I talked about the competitiveness of Melissa Thomas, but, you know, Achonwa in her own right is really, really a junkyard dog on that floor. She might smile a lot, but she's down and dirty with the best of them. And, you know, I was just looking forward to seeing Thomas and Achenma go at it, you know, and now we're not going to be able to see that. So it's going to be you'd like to think that the Irish can move on, but they're still going to miss Natalie. And Reimer's really going to have to step up. Breaker's going to have to step up. And, you know, I don't know who else they're going to bring in there to step up. But, yeah, and I think they will rise. Jewel has been awesome all year. And Kayla, you know, don't forget Kayla McBride here. You know, that's a special, special player, too. So I think you might see some of the compensation for a Achenma actually take place with some more guards.
Now, you brought up the two stars, which I was going to mention next. You know, that this is why you're so good, Doug. You give segues to people like me all the time. We're talking to the two All-Americans, Kayla McBride and Jewel Loy. You know, one of the best 1-2 punches in the country at any position, certainly in the backcourt. Kayla McBride has always been one of my favorites, going back to watching her in the Big East. You know, Cookies, when you played against them, how do you try to, you know, if you're Maryland now, how do you try and stop Jewel Lloyd and Kayla McBride?
Well, I'll tell you, they're really, really tough to stop because they've got the full complement of skills. They can shoot the three. They can get to the basket. You know, they can create their own shot off the dribble. And they both can shoot the pull-up jumper. They don't have to get all the way to the basket. So, you know, it's really tough to stop them. And the way Jewel Lloyd's been playing in the NCAA tournament, you know, she's playing with a lot of confidence. And I don't know that it's you can say this is how you stop them. And they're both very good passers, so you try to double-team them and things like that. And they do a great job of finding – their open teammate. You know, I don't know that you try to stop them so much as you just try to, you know, contain all of them and maybe just play good defense and try to keep them in front of you and try to make them take tough shots. And if you can make them take tough shots and if they're missing, then you got a chance to get going in transition. But I think Maryland's got to use their size, you know, if they can use their size to contest shots, you know, push them into taking tougher shots against their bigger posts. You know, that may help create a little bit of maybe discomfort, you know, for those two. But they're really tough to stop.
So, all right, now quickly going around the horn here. Cookies, you think Notre Dame wins this?
I'm going with the Irish.
Lindsay?
Notre Dame.
And Doug?
I'm staying with Notre Dame. And the other thing about McBride and Jewel are those two, they play like garbage players. They play with the tenacity of players that can't play. They do some of the garbage work, the players that don't have skills. And you know, that's where I just think those two are going to really rise. They'll have their skill game together, but you watch those 50-50 balls in this game.
You know, that's an unspoken but so important part of the game, especially when you get to this type of elite level. You know, the way that Coach McGraw gets those players, the stars, to do that. And it takes a special coach to be able to get their stars to do the dirty work all the time. So,
David, you could have said it better. You're right.
So let's look across the bracket now. And, you know, Lindsay, have you bought Shanae a graduation present yet to get her out of there?
I have sent 6 years' worth of flowers because there's been an Agumake for 6 years, sometimes two of them. So she's tremendous, but I'll be happy to cheer for her in the WNBA.
You know, she against, you know, you had two games in short proximity. She only managed to do 23-12 and 29-8 against you. But this is a Stanford team that is far from the team that played Connecticut in November. And, you know, Lindsay, talk a little bit about some of the role players that have stepped up, like Thompson and such.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be cliche, but they're really, really smart. They know their roles. They know spacing. They know angles. They know how to get the ball to Chiney. I mean, it's a great post-entry passing team. You know, they've shot the ball really, really well, you know, certainly the latter half of the season with the two Samuelsons, Lili Thompson, Amber Orange. We were talking about it today amongst a group of people. I think Lili Thompson has really made a difference for them because she brings a more versatile skill set to the offensive end than maybe they would have otherwise. So she can do some things off the dribble. So can Arange. They space the floor really well. Tara is a master game planner. I'm not sure if there's anyone, you know, better at crafting a game plan, and those kids execute it really well. So they're tough. And then you have, you know, one of the top three players in the country in the middle, and in Chennai. So it's a pretty good combination.
Yeah, you know, Kokis, you just fell to them in the Sweet 16. And one of the players who is really making a huge run and having a big impact in this tournament has been Michaela Roof. And I don't think people really expected that out of him. But, you know, just overall, this team is tough to play. The triangle offense, they run so well. You know, they're just not an easy out, period.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And Michaela Roof is, you know, she does a lot of the little things, extra possessions, crashing the boards, you know, rotations, using her size to contest shots. They do, as Lindsay said, they do a great job playing together as a team, understanding their roles. When they're hitting their outside shots, and that's one of the things, you know, I think Ogwumike, you know, she definitely is her supporting cast allows her to have the spacing that she needs because they're such great outside shooters, and you got to respect their shooting ability. So you got to get out and guard them, and that opens the floor for Chennai, and she's got a lot of room to work. And when she's got room to work, she can fill it up.
You know, Doug, last night North Carolina exposed a little bit of Stanford in the first half. But, you know, they just managed to regroup. This is not a team that is going to go out and blow everybody off the court. But they're just going to do what they got to do, and they just always seem to advance. And that seems to be, what Tara has done for years.
She's another, you know, that's the other aspect of this. You really do have four Hall of Fame coaches here, and Tara is as really good as they get. And at the same time, you know, I really have to speak more to UConn than Stanford. I think Lindsay and Colcrease could be the Stanford experts because of their playing against them where we haven't played them. And yet we were just in Lincoln with Connecticut. And this might have been Connecticut's worst offensive couple of ball games that they've had in this recent winning streak. They were really not nearly as offensively well-oiled as they generally are, and still won two 20-point games against, you know, a couple of really good ball clubs. Brigham Young was really a lot better than I think people expected, and so was, you know, Texas A&M was a really strong ball club. And it was, you know, the defense. Where I'm going here is the defense of UConn that's always been their dirty little secret. People don't think of UConn as a great defensive team, and they really always are a really, really good to great defensive team. But I think this team is greater than most, and they've got the 6'5 with Dolson, and they got the 6'4 with the well-talked-about 7-foot wingspan of Stewie. You know, they just have two really, really strong inside defenders, and you know, Bria Hartley out there on the perimeter has just done a great job defensively as well. So, this is a really, really good defensive team that Stanford's going to have to, you know, it's going to be classic offensive execution of Tara against a really, really strong UConn defense.
When they played in November, I had commented that I hoped that they would play in the spring, and that November I thought was kind of a little bit of a waste of such a good quality game, because every team evolved so much. But you know, Doug, I do have one question I got to ask you. Is since we start talking about UConn, was it nice not having them in the conference this year?
I really missed them. I missed them. And first of all, the Big East. It was awesome. The reconfigured Big East was just an awesome league to play in, and we are really strong top to bottom. And yet, I just love the competition of UConn and Notre Dame, and I love the competition of Louisville Rutgers. You know, and the thing that people don't realize is those of us that left that are in the new configured Big East really kind of religiously went toe-to-toe with Louisville, Rutgers. You know, we would beat those teams. And you know, yet UConn and Notre Dame, they're on a different they're on a different planet with the rest of women's basketball. And that's just the fact. And I hate to say it that way, but I think the ACC found out this year just how good just how good Notre Dame is. And, you know, I just missed. Yeah, they slapped you upside the back of the head. And, you know, it was really hard to get a victory over them. But at the same time, you know, you were being prepared. And so I really just missed the competition. I missed the juggernauts. And yet our league, you know, the Big East reconfigured is so much stronger than people ever really gave it credit for this year, because some of the teams, people think of Seton Hall as a bottom feeder, and they really have improved their program, and it's just become a much tougher league. Creighton brought an awful lot to the league. St. John's was really talented. And so I just think it was a great league to be a part of this year, though I do say that we missed some of the teams that we had with us before.
Well, the fact that your team was a 7 seed showed that there was not nearly enough respect given to the conference, because that it was definitely much better than a 7 seed, your team this year, that's for sure.
No, Parcells, you are what your record says you are. So they call it a 7 worth 7.
You know, Cokies, you played UConn. You're the one that you're really the one that's played everybody.
Okay,
so, yeah. You know, congratulations and why at the same time.
Right.
but seriously, now Doug was talking about, you know, the size and the factor of Stewie and Stephanie Dolson. You know, the other side of that is the backcourt and Hartley and Mariah Jefferson in particular defensively. Now, no one is ever going to accuse Dara Taylor of being slow, but Mariah Jefferson is just unbelievable out there.
Yeah, she's got some jets, and I'll echo what Doug said about their defense. Their defense really ignites their offense a lot of nights. And Mariah Jefferson and Bria Hartley, Bria Hartley is one of the best guards in transition in the nation, in my opinion. I mean, she really does a good job of pushing the ball, getting to the basket, and finishing in traffic. But then also knowing when to slow the ball down and find her teammates in transition. And their ability to score in transition and score off their defense really sustains them on nights when maybe they're not shooting the ball as well in the half court as they would like to.
You know, Lindsay, Brianna Stewart is only a sophomore. Jewel Lloyd, we mentioned, is also only a sophomore. The sky is the limit for these players, but let's talk for a second about what Stewart does. Now, she has struggled somewhat offensively in this postseason, but she brings it in so many other ways, too. You know, you got to see this in the Garden close at hand. There's not too many more skilled sophomores that I've seen.
No, when she had like 25 on us in the first half of the Garden, I was thinking the Knicks were going to come by and try and just keep her there. She's that good. I think it's really exciting. I mean, you look at the number of exciting big time players we've had this year. You know, between Stewie and Jewel Lloyd and McBride and Thomas and Shanae. I mean, it's just a spectacular time for women's basketball, and there's nobody better than Stewie. I mean, she's a game changer. I mean, she's 6'4" with a 7-foot wingspan. You know, she can be the best shooter on the floor, the best slasher, the best post-up kid. I mean, she's like, you know, nothing we've seen, whether you want to say Durant or whatever. It's fun to watch, and I think she's only even beginning to really scratch the surface of doing everything she can, and I think that's really good for women's basketball, and I think it's really scary for anybody in Connecticut's path these next couple of years.
You know, and Doug, I know you're good friends with the man, but, you know, you've also been an assistant coach with Coach Ariema in the national teams and such, but he does manage to get the best out of people like Brianna Stewart, Stephanie Dolson. You know, he is a master.
Yeah, if people ask me so many people think, well, you're a coach next to Gino now, so you expect the DePaul program to be UConn. And what people don't – what makes Gino so talented as a coach is, yes, he knows his X's and O's, and he's a smart coach and all that kind of stuff. I just believe he's a consummate confidence builder. He just really has a knack for building confidence in the people around him, whether they be assistant coaches or whether they be players or whether they be managers. I just think he has a way of doing that. And yet, you know, he still busts shots pretty good. It's not like he's just some vassal little choir guy out there. He's tough, but at the same time, there's just a confidence that he's able to get out of people. I think that's probably his best trait. I think it's one of those innate traits. It's one of those traits you're born with, regardless of what profession you might have gotten into. That's kind of what he does. And you see it most in the players that all come back to his program. You know, there is a Connecticut cult, and I use the word cult as a compliment, of players that just love to be a part of what it was to play at the University of Connecticut. And I think that helps them in keeping the movement moving forward.
Well, so let's put a bow on these two, then UConn, Stanford, Cokies, UConn?
I'm going to go with UConn.
Lindsay?
I very rarely pick against Tara, but this year I think you got to go with UConn.
And Doug?
They've won 40 in a row or something like that. I think, you know, they're on a roll for a reason. I think it's got to be UConn.
Which leads us to a final of UConn and Notre Dame is what you guys are all predicting. Now, Cokies, now I have a question for you.
Okay.
You were on the bench in 2001, right?
Correct.
So that was the year where UConn suffered these ACL injuries in the postseason and couldn't put their best team. Now, it didn't stop anybody from Notre Dame from taking that title. So I think this is going to stop UConn from trying to take the title if Achan was out?
No, nobody cares. We're competitors, and you know you feel sorry that Achan won't be able to suit up, but that won't stop UConn from giving their best effort.
And now when you look back at it over the years, nobody talks about UConn being injured. They talk about that was the year that Notre Dame won the national championship.
Absolutely.
So what do they have to do to win it this year?
Which team?
Notre Dame.
Well, I think the one thing that they've got to do is they've got to find a way to continue to do what they've done all season, which is take care of the ball and not give up a lot of transition opportunities to Connecticut. And you know they've got to find a way to defend Stewart and not let her get going. That was the thing that happened last year. Was Breonna Stewart had a monster game. And she was probably the difference maker in their that game. So we've got to find a way to contain Stewart and not let her go off on him.
Lindsay, now for UConn, did just business as usual, or is there anything different they have to do to handle a team with players like McBride and Joel Lloyd?
I mean, I think in that type of situation, when you're playing, you know, the other best team in the country, you know, you have to play well. They have to be on their game. Obviously, Notre Dame can expose them in ways other people can't. I think the key is going to be the Notre Dame backcourt. I think if McBride and Joel Lloyd, you know, become the dominant backcourt in this game, that's how Notre Dame can win the game. You know, if they significantly outplay, because that's the only way I think you can sort of counterbalance Stewie's production. And so I think that's the only way Notre Dame wins is if, and I think they have as good a shot as anybody, because of their mental toughness and how they approach UConn. And I think if those two kids dominate and sort of have, you know, a spectacular game, that's how Notre Dame can win. I think UConn needs to focus on being UConn and defending the heck out of people and getting easy baskets in transition and, you know, utilizing Stewie as the mismatch she is. I think they have to be themselves. I think Notre Dame has to just get a great game from the backcourt.
Doug, Coach McGraw has made comments about how they've had success against UConn a few times. You know, Skylar isn't here, though, and obviously her mental toughness was unparalleled. But how significant is it still for players like McBride and Lloyd that have been there and beaten UConn and beaten them in, you know, soundly? How important is that going into a game like this still?
I think it's huge that they have the confidence of having beaten UConn three times last year. Dave, I don't recall it being soundly. I remember the game that Notre Dame won, but I don't remember it being soundly. And so, you know, the difference, I think Okisa already alluded to it, or Lindsay, one of the two. But you know, last year, Breonna Stewart did not begin becoming Breonna Stewart until the Big East tournament last year at the end of her freshman year. And the difference in game four last year was Breonna Stewart. The confidence gained by having beaten UConn three times out of the last four, and maybe it might, whatever it might be, five out of the last seven or something, or six out of the last seven, is definitely in Notre Dame's favor. But that Stewie factor, the fact that Stewie is now a real first-class member of the elite in college basketball, is what I believe will make the difference. It made the difference last year, and that's what I think will make the difference this year. And Lindsay said it really well, too. For Notre Dame to have a chance, you really have to give great games out of Michaela, out of McBride and Jewel. And, you know, that's really gotta happen for Notre Dame. Notre Dame's done a great job of not beating themselves against UConn, and that's another very important component to beating UConn. Make UConn beat you, because dadgum, you know they can. Don't beat yourself.
Now, come on, Doug. I got to try and hype the game, you know. So I got to make it sound like it last year's game, you know, that Notre Dame dominated last year, so that it's different. Come on. I was there for those games, too, and, yes, they were all close, and they were all tremendously high-level play, and I missed them terribly this year. There is no question about that. Now, last question that I want each of your opinion on, then. Muffet's been talking about winning for Achanwa and how important it is for the team to play for her. Is that something that really is a factor and something that can spur a team, an injury like that, where they want to win for somebody? Or at this point, are you just good enough that you go out there and you just take care of business? Cookies, why don't you go first?
I think that added motivation of playing for somebody who's been, you know, the heart and as Doug said earlier, you know, kind of their emotional engine all season long. I mean, and they're, you know, she's a senior, won't get to play in the national in the Final Four for the national championship. I think that added motivation will give, you know, especially the bench, maybe some extra motivation. And as Lindsay said, it may give, you know, some added energy and an added boost to McBride and Jewel Lloyd, who already know they've got to play really good games, and they play really good in these games. That'll give them a little bit of extra boost and motivation. I think those things can really help.
Cookies, can I ask you a question? You know, you went to Notre Dame, and Lindsay and I didn't. So when you go and attend Notre Dame, after they bring you to the chapel, do they show you a movie of Winning One for the Gipper?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do.
All right,
Doug, what do you think about the extra motivation? Is that just a Notre Dame thing then? You know, showing the
one for
the Gipper? Or? You've certainly played teams with Anna Martin and Keisha Hampton, key players being going down.
I really just do believe it's one of those situations where, you know, I think players are just trying to bring their inner best selves to the game, and whatever I think it could be helpful, it might be helpful, it might not be helpful. But Notre Dame is a really close group that Coach McGraw has coached for the last 4 years. And in any other given time in the history of women's basketball, they really would probably have a couple of national championships. And I just think there's an inner closeness, an interconnectedness to this group that, you know, they'd be winning it for Achanwa if Achanwa was healthy, because they're playing for themselves, but they're really playing for each other. It's really one of those teams that's really bonded well together. So that's kind of how I look at it.
All right, Lindsay. Who's going to cut down the nets?
Oh, goodness. I think the UConn-Notre Dame rivalry is one of the best things going in all of sports right now, not just women's basketball, but all the sports. I'm really excited, you know, to be able to watch that game if it comes down to that. I mean, given the injury, I think you know, someone who was betting would bet on UConn, but I really, really do think Notre Dame has a legitimate chance. So I'm going to go with that. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to go to a couple overtimes.
Wow. And no choice. We do, you know, that was great talking around it, but we did notice that you didn't pick anybody. We'll let you off the hook.
I'll go with Notre Dame. I think that would be a really great story. As much as I think, you know, UConn is one of the best teams we've seen in a long time, you know, maybe it's Notre Dame's time.
Now, did you schedule them next year? Is that what this is all about? I mean, you got Notre Dame next year instead of UConn?
We're playing Stanford a couple times, but I don't think we're playing Notre Dame or UConn less than postseason.
Okay.
We're playing both days.
Yes. So then I really shouldn't ask you to pick a team, should I, Doug?
No, I'll be glad to pick a team. UConn wins number 9.
Cookies?
Well, I think that there's really 4 outstanding teams playing. I don't know who's going to win, but my Irish blood in me, I'm rooting for Notre Dame.
Now, the final question I want to ask each of you, coaches aside, being fans, Doug, what is it that you really want to see this weekend?
I want to see great, entertaining basketball in all 3 basketball games. Entertaining basketball. I want to see cleanly played basketball where it's aggressive, and I really would like to see a well-called 3 basketball games as well. You know, I just would really like to have the game of women's basketball celebrated by the talent on the floor.
Lindsay, I don't think there's too much that can be added to that.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see these 4 great teams play at their best, and the great players look like the great players that they are. Good basketball. I think that would be really good for our game.
And Coach Guise?
They both have said it well. Just great basketball. And showcase our game at the highest level.
Yes, and I will say amen, especially to the part about let's hope for a well-called set of games that don't the referees don't put themselves into the action too much. So, guys, I want to thank you all for taking time to be with us and to help break things down. It's been a lot of fun. What a great group of coaches you are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the games.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, you guys.